Hey, welcome to the Mostly Skateboarding Podcast. I'm your host, Templeton Elliott, and I'm joined this week by Mike Munzenreiter and Jason from Frozen and Carbonite to talk about Dakota Serbold's new part. But first, let's take a day trip. Following in the footsteps of Tim and Henry, or Hjalte and Bobby, Daewon Song and Mike Arnold are the latest dynamic duo to come together for a common cause, of getting us stoked to buy skate products. Mike, are Mike Arnold and Daewon Song greater than the sum of their parts in Day Trip?
Yeah, the simple answer is yes. I thought of it originally as an odd coupling or an odd couple pairing. What was that show, The Odd Couple?
Yeah.
Is that Balky and who else? Like, it's
Perfect Strangers. Yeah, Perfect Strangers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Odd Couple was something that none of us are old enough to really come up with off the top of our heads. Mike Arnold and Daewon Song are definitely an odd couple, but I think after you watch that video, you're like, oh, that's the perfect couple. Those dudes have complementary approaches to skating, I think is the best way to put it. Excuse me. And, like, you know, it's really a Mike Arnold part with Daewon Song as the legendary guest. Sometimes, you know, people do couples parts and or married people's parts where they don't think there needs to be a doubles clip or two. They check the box of having the doubles clip. And yeah, I really like that part. And Jacob Harris, he can be a tough guy to, you know, sign up to be your, you know, do a brand video. But I feel like, well, that doesn't necessarily strike me as like, that's Adidas. That was Adidas skaters doing Adidas skaters things in like a really great video. I liked it. Jason, did it work?
You know, a while ago, back when Tom Knox came out with that 10-minute part, when for a minute there, we kind of thought he was going to get Skater of the Year. I said, look, this guy is UK Daewon, just because he does so much crazy esoteric tech shit on these bleak, depressing UK spots. However, Mike Arnold might be there. And, like, I don't know. I think for some reason I got, just because this is so stupid, but I think because they look the same, I got his and Casper Brooker skating kind of conflated in my head. Mike Arnold, like, he definitely has that kind of esoteric tech shit going on. For example, Nolly Caballero, switchback nose blunt, or cab front blunt, whatever you want to call it. Templeton noted it in his notes. Pretty crazy. With Daewon and Mike Arnold, like, the spot and the trick combine for, like, a conceptual thing. That, spot where Daewon does, like, a fakie nose manual, like, around, like, he does, like, a slalom.
Yeah.
And those yellow bollards, like, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of like finding shit in your neighborhood and saying, like, all right, how can I make this a spot? What, you know, stupid shit can I do on this? So, yeah, they're kind of have the same conceptual approach to skating. I mean, obviously, Mike Arnold's more of a traditional, you know, ledge and gap type skater. Daewon just skates, like, rocks and whatever, like, unskated curbs or in his neighborhood.
Yeah, Daewon is like a decidedly non-traditional skater almost. Probably Daewon is at the upper edge of what's allowed or what's acceptable. If it was somebody else doing those tricks, we might not accept it.
I'm gonna come in like you came in last episode, just to clarify, like, Daewon's the galaxy brain of skating, where he's done so much insane shit. I think if you think of like year 2000, whenever, you know, it's like he's got two picnic tables down on 11 stair and it's he's 360 flip nose blunting that shit. Daewon now is so high concept that I don't think you can actually understand him very well without context. Well, you can also appreciate him without context because what he does is cool. Like the frontside 180 faking nose wheelie already mentioned, like through the bollards. But I think if you know his full contextual place in skating, it's like, okay, I get all this.
Do you mean context in terms of his body of work or like the physical context, like where he's skating?
I think, yeah, body of work and where like this guy has always been evolving in what he does and how he obsesses over things.
So kind of on a similar vein, like I was kind of trying to think of like, how do you categorize these guys? Like what kind of skate category do Mike Arnold and Daewon fall into?
Well, it's street skating, of course, but it's just kind of like esoteric high concept street skating. For example, that thing with the loading dock, where was that real or was that staged? Like the thing where he pushes the button and the loading dock goes up and then he like drops in on it.
What do you mean real?
Like did they actually activate the loading dock or was it like filmed later and then they came back? You know what I mean?
No, you can see in the clip, Daewon actually operates the elevator himself.
Oh.
And then I guess they went back and filmed Mike Arnold pressing the button for the video.
Yeah, it's almost like he's trying to make a statement about, like, you know, working at the post office or something, just like the Charles Bukowski book entitled Post Office.
Go on.
Expand on that, Jason.
Yeah, just like having a job, you know, the bleak existence being a wage slave and how to escape from it. You know what I mean? It's like a piece of art. He's like making a statement.
Interesting. Do you think the crushed up watermelons under the lift, how does that tie in with the statement?
An homage to Gallagher, obviously.
Skate Gallagher.
Yeah. I saw that in the podcast group chat before I watched the part. I didn't know what y'all were talking about, but like, oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, I want to put it on record. Reel has a new board, and I forget what the technology is called, but it's got wheel wells, and I saw it at the shop. It's got wheel wells, and then the edge of the board is like that thin, nearly as thin as a wheel well. It's shaved up, so there's like only 3 plies on the edge of the board. We were talking about, like, could you slice a watermelon in half with that thin of a board?
Maybe if you needed to slice a kiwi, it would slice it perfectly in half if you had the right size kiwi.
I feel like the watermelon's the right shape and size for a skate deck to chop through.
Well, and who's like the most prominent rager nowadays? Like, nobody's like really chopping a board on a ledge anymore. But like, we need that dude to just see, can you do a watermelon? That sounds like some Village Psychic content right there.
It's almost like, let me use this board to cut up the lime for my Jack and Coke.
Right. Yeah, I like that.
Like, you know, possibilities are endless with this product.
Brand narratives like ready to go.
What's this board technology called?
I need to just call it up on my phone here. Hold on for a sec. It's right here. Nope. I'm looking at old stuff. It's the Reel RT Construction, the original, not too steep, not too. I don't know if it's even that. It's just, it's like there's a wheel well and the entire side of the board is shaved. It's very, very intriguing technology.
Elongated wheel well.
I'll have to check it out. I just went by the shop. I don't think they had it. It must be new. They get truckloads of deluxe shit all the time. So I'll check for it next time I'm down there. Shout out to the venue.
What do we think about the, like, betweens? I wanted to say over-unders, which is not quite the perfect description, but like the over-throughs or whatever he's got.
For me, the only one of that genre of trick that I like is an ollie, because that's a trick where your feet aren't supposed to leave the board.
Right.
Everything else just feels like, while I understand these tricks are very hard, I could never do it. Also would not want to do it, because it's like taking your feet too far from the board. And like, if you did that sans obstacle, it would look whack. I will say the nollie heel in this part that Mike Arnold does over under is pretty fucking insane.
What was that obstacle? I'm trying to, it was like
just
a,
some kind of like a road, like,
parking
movable roadblock type thing.
Yeah,
but that was gnarly. But also, like, I don't really like those tricks. Mike Arnold seems to like them quite a bit.
Yeah, it's funny when they showed that the shot of the bike like on the ground at Bristol. I was like, don't do it, don't you fucking do it, and he went and did like a fakie flip through it. Like, god,
you
damn
know
it.
He caught that fakie flip, and everybody listening to this podcast right now just needs to think about, all right, weird random bike frame, maybe like 54 centimeters. It didn't look like a tiny bike frame. Like, all right, let's all go just do that. Give it one try and see how close you can get. I don't know. Those tricks are generally not my favorite, but I think Mike Arnold kind of has a stranglehold on doing them well. And he caught the fakie flip through the bike frame.
Yeah, I mean,
a sentence,
like,
I've never said.
Like, if you really break it down and think about it, like, that's insane. That's some, like, really insane board control to go fakie, because you got to pop it over the sprocket or whatever, get it through this weird shape and catch it and ride away while your body goes above the crossbar. Like, it's insane, but also, like, kind of ugly.
As a stunt, I like it. Again, don't necessarily like that brand of things where, I don't know, the bump to bar, like, 360 flip through.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, it's all so vague, though. It's all so vague. It's why should any one of these... Well, this is skateboarding. It's some of it work. Some things will always work. Some things will never work. And then, you know, a lot of things will just sometimes work.
Yeah, I will say that the bike is better than doing something like a Kiltonic bagpipe through the bump to bar and land in like a grind on a curb or something. Like, it's a little bit different because it's a found object. There's that aspect to it.
Yeah, the found objectness to it helps it. And also just the fact that there's the vertical and horizontal obstacles, you know, like if you're doing it over like between a chain, you know, like you have near infinite, like you don't have to worry about what's happening on the left and right side. But with the bike frame, it's like it's a very tight space that you have to get that board through.
Fourth dimensionality, not exactly. A word again. Well, there's also just the idea of, you know, you're skating Bristol or whatever that is. What is the proper name of that spot? It's in Lloyd's. Bristol, I take it. Lloyd's?
Yeah.
You guys are better at this than I. It's like, oh, here's a bike. There's something relatable about it in terms of bike just frame.
Like skating junk. Like any fucking piece of junk will skate it.
It's like, yeah, can I switch ollie this? Or, you know, can I don't know. What? Here's this fucking bike. Weird. And then you get really into the weeds. Wow, I'm good at doing these weird-ass tricks. I don't know. There's something about fakie flip going through and going between and going over that's just a good trick, even if we don't like the general thing about that trick.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I can appreciate it, and I think that it was properly placed as the last trick. I think it worked there, but that's just like, you know, as Maddie would say, not for me.
What do you guys think about that edit in terms of just Jacob Harris can be, he is his own brand in terms of like an edit goes. And I thought at first it was like, oh, here's another brand that hired Jacob Elliott Harris. And all of a sudden this isn't a brand's thing. I feel like it kind of reined in near the end. And it's like, this is just a cool video that is not necessarily Atlantic Drift with three stripes on it. Does that make sense to you guys?
You mean like in terms of the usual imagery that he uses with Atlantic Drift, like the...
Yeah, just so much. Like, he's a very stylized editor, and I don't know, ASICS hired him to do a video, and I didn't learn a lot about ASICS as a brand, but I knew that was a cool Jacob Harris edit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like there's... He's got a signature look, you know, like you're always going to get some 16 millimeter and some interesting cutaways in that 16 millimeter and stuff like that. Like, it, you know, you're watching a Jacob Harris video when you're watching a Jacob Harris video. But there is precedent, you know, like Jacob Elliott Harris did the video for Mike Arnold's pro shoe with Adidas,
yeah,
which was referenced in this one, you know, him jumping out of the window. So it's on a continuum, you know, it makes sense.
I thought it was cool, like that kind of interlude of him watching the day one part or whatever video it was from, like DECA video.
DECA promo.
Yeah, it looked like the DECA promo or something like that. I thought that was a pretty dope concept.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that, you know, it kind of gave some context to like the schoolyard bench. You know, it's a nice transition into that. And that was the transition to get Mike Arnold to California, correct?
Think so.
Yeah. What?
Then he just popped up in that ditch.
Yeah.
That's like the Jaron heel flip or switch heel flip. I'm trying to, yeah, some of these places all kind of blend together in my mind. You know what I wanted to see Mike Arnold do if we were going to take him to a California like schoolyard? Could have backside nose grinded the entire bench straight on or done it switch, I think, which would have been more apropos. Like hauling ass, switch backside nose grind. All that day one stuff is like 20 plus years ago, though. And it's hard to know exactly which trick he was doing, I find myself realizing right now.
He was doing like a nose grind transfer to a different bench nose grind, wasn't he, in the part?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a fake, either a switch nose grind, like transfer to the other bench. That's right.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about like... Trilogy and first Daewon Song versus Rodney's type stuff. Like, it's the deep history of Daewon Song is kind of mind-boggling. If you think about that hard flip, you know, over a 6-foot, 1-foot drop gap in, is that Love Child?
Yep.
is, rewatch that.
Yeah, how long ago? I mean, he's a four decade. No, he's a 90. He's been in the game a lot of decades, depending on how you count.
Yeah, Luxai was 92. I think he got on World like 91, something like that. But yeah, it's just insane that I mean, yeah, like it's insane that he's continued to skate at his level for however old he is, like 50, pushing 50.
Yeah, and he's aged in a really graceful way, you know, evolved in a really cool way. And it's interesting how he's, you know, you can think of him as like the table stack guy or the roof skating guy or the like forced perspective guy. He's had like these eras, and I don't know, not many people are able to kind of reinvent their style that way.
The rock era, what, he only skated rocks for like right. 6 years or something.
You got to understand the vibe, I suppose.
Shout out the vibe thereof.
No, it's funny to bring this up, or just think about, you know, reinvention and longevity. I interviewed him for the Skateboard Meg interview issue, not episode, which my brain wanted to say. It was in 2008. It was summer 2008. Took me forever to get the dude on the phone because he was busy. I think he was finishing up something. Maybe he was just finishing up photos for the part, but I know I can say from a little bit of experience, Daewon Song might be somewhat obsessive. But, you know, when I finally got him on the phone, he was one of the nicest dudes I've ever talked to for a skateboard thing. And I did ask him, like, and this is 2008, so 16 years ago, give or take. He felt old at the time. I don't know how old he was. Templeton, do the math while I tell the story. You know, I'm like, how do you keep going? How do you keep skating so much? And he's just like, yeah, I skate every day. A little skating every day keeps you on point.
I mean, that seems to be the formula, you know? Like, you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Damn. Who does Mike Arnold ride for? I realized I didn't know that. As well.
Boards-wise?
Yeah.
Good question.
He seemed to be skating aisle boards in the part, but those are probably old, I assume.
That is a great question.
I mean, that might be just as you Google it and we hear your keystrokes, like that just might be not the end of board relevancy, because, you know, we care about who rides for Baker because Baker puts out great videos, but maybe I just unlocked the code for how do you make a board brand sponsorship relevant, put out great videos, but yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah, unclear.
Yeah, I mean, I really wasn't aware of his game that much, like I said. Like, he does all those, what's that trick he does? Like, he does it at the end, like out of a nose manual at a Queens Road Peckham.
He did a nollie front blunt out of nose manual, did he? Yeah. That's insane.
At Queens Road Peckham, shout out the Makba of the North. But anyway, yeah, I looked at his Instagram for a second, and he was almost getting that, like a nollie heel into that, like backside nollie heel to front blunt, like insanely technical, even on a curb.
Wait, out of the nose manual or just
regular?
Okay, still insane.
Still, no one's even not come close to doing that. So yeah, I mean, I think he deserves a board sponsor. Like, he's pretty fucking sick.
Well, I think he's on Supreme as well, so he's probably just can afford to be picky at this point.
Yeah. Wait, he and Casper are both on Supreme. That's confusing as shit.
I think Casper's on Nike, so that's...
Yeah. That's the one, that's the method. It's like Casper, Nike, Mike Arnold, Adidas.
Yep, there's Casper, even like a Nike meme about it, right? Like,
yeah, Village Psychic Boys.
with the Homer hand.
Exactly.
Written on it.
Shout out those guys.
Yeah, definitely shout out those guys. That's a good one, damn. But one last thing, if anyone has an ID on those black pants with the purple, like the purple shading on there, let me know. I was trying to figure it out. When I get some more time, I might try to triangulate it, but those pants were pretty sick. Like, he was wearing a purple one and a green one.
I think those were Atlantic Drift pants. Or at least
shit.
They might have offered something similar at a point in the past. Not helping you triangulate anything, but I definitely remember. Oh,
the triangulation's already begun.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah.
Listeners, right. Slide into Jason's DMs with...
I'm already writing on my Atlantic Drift pants, ? Okay.
Are there other... What I liked about this part was that it was like an unlikely pairing, you know, odd couple. Yeah, how do you even structure the question without it being just stupid? But you know, who else do we want to see skating together? Like, could actually Grant Taylor and Eric Costin could be really sick if we're thinking about shoe sponsor videos.
Damn, that would be cool.
That would be cool because Costin has some transition skills. Like, he's always had transition skills.
Grant has
some street skills. So that would probably be a cool one, yeah.
My buddy always is like, Eric Costin is the best skater ever because, you know, in the H Street days, he also did a bunch of shit on ramps. And it's like, yeah, he's very good. No, I think why I liked the, what is it called again? Day Trip video so well. It should have been Mike Trip standing up for, you know, co-nameless. But yeah, you just want to see people skating stuff that they're rad at.
I think that makes sense. You want to see people skate doing their thing, you know, and I think that with Daewon, his thing is cruising around his local area, balancing on two wheels and, you know, ducking under shit. It's cool. It's like part of me wanted to see Daewon skating Lloyd's, you know, Mike Ronald, take Daewon back with you and, you know, show him your world and let's see what that looks like. But I don't know if that would work. Like, would Daewon like that, you know? Like, maybe he needs to be just, like, marinating in the zone to figure out his next move.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was waiting for that, but, like, yeah, there's no way. It's really hard to get him out of that, like, that Torrance East Bay area. Like, I'm shocked they got him to go on tour last summer or whenever it was. Like, shocked.
I think Templeton, yeah, you touched on something that just, like, lit up all the nodes in my brain. Get Daewon at a place with a, like, I think I can project a little bit and say Daewon song, you get him to this place that is a weird yet, you know, plays to his skills type spot with a guy, aka Mike Arnold, who, you know, rips this place. And oh my God, you could get some sweet melodies, as they say.
Yeah, I think it'd be good if you could make it happen. You know, maybe Daewon would need like a month or two in the space to really, you know, make the magic.
I think he's a genius. He is a genius on a skateboard. Like, he'd figure it out real quick.
Yeah, for sure. A genius and a true professional.
Did you film him in the DVS days, Templeton?
I never got a clip with him. I went out with him once to this like sheet metal sculpture of a film strip in a fountain. What did he do on it? There was like a photo of him doing like a blunt on it. And I went with him to like kind of test it out. And he did like kickflip fakie in the daytime. Not as dramatic as the blunt in the dark. But yeah, never like got anything with him. But yeah, truly nicest dude on and off the board, as they say.
Wow. Well-rounded dude.
Jason, who else could handle a duo part?
Man, in my wheelhouse, two of my favorite skaters, fucking Roman Lisivka and Marek Zaprosny, either all at Stalin or in and around Barcelona. Tiago and just about anyone, like one of those new Brazilian tech dudes, like JP Souza or whoever is on Dallas, you know, maybe Tiago and Lucas would be sick. Basically, ooh, yeah. any two Euros, and I'd be happy.
I had Tiago on my list, but I had him paired up with Brandon Westgate.
Whoa, yeah, that'd be something. I think the perfect song, I'm a big Prince fan, so You Got the Look, Sheena Eastman duet that he had. Watch that music video, or it's, you know, it's like they kind of like stitch together live performance footage and maybe some studio footage. Ooh, it's great. My kid loves it. Sheena Eastman in there is a total babe, so there's that. That's like an easy one. I think Busenitz and someone else of similar caliber to be determined later could skate to that song with him.
Yeah, I like the idea of a duet for a song, and it's like the skater, you could pair the skater with the singer and like...
Right.
Yeah, it would work. Like I always think of Some Velvet Morning by Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra, and I think that would be like a really good girl-guy shared part thing.
I don't even know if I know that song.
That's a good one.
There you
Mike
go.
Johnson skated to it in the Maple video in 77.
Someday ABD. When I am feeling this. I don't know the words, but is that it? That's an approximation. One. Wow.
Well, I mean, not that that means anything. Like, I think, is there a statute of limitations on video part songs?
Yeah, I feel like it's the lines getting blurry now.
Yeah. So I mean, if you were gonna repurpose it for a dual part, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of unsure about that, guys. Not that Mark Johnson's 1996 part from a Maple video is untouchable, but all right, I just talked myself out of it. It's cool.
There we go. All right. Dakota Serbold let us know there's so much more out there in his latest video part that clocks in at almost 10 minutes with insane spots, random rails, and a thirst for adventure. Jason, is this crew the last of the great road dogs in skateboarding?
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing a lot of this sentiment kind of in the zeitgeist in general. Like, you know, like be outside, like, you know, go to a bar, sit down, talk to people, go for a walk, you know, not just like the usual, like, oh, put your phone down type of shit. But yeah, he's right. Like the action is really outside, right? You got to be outside. And yeah, but like, yeah, this crew, yeah, they seem to be on the road like freaking all the time. But yeah, I can see why a lot of people be like, oh, why, you know, with budgets and whatnot. Like, I don't see how they budget it. Well, they do talk about it in the new Thrasher. Dakota Serbold has an interview in there. But it's one of those interviews where they get just like a bunch of people to talk about the subject. And so like Mike Sinclair is in there. Yeah, he was like, yeah, we went on tour for 4 months just for $2,000. So I guess if you're tight, you can budget it out. But yeah, I guess a lot of people are still like, oh, why go on the road, spend all that money when you can just like post on Instagram and have as much of an impact, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to me, this feels more impactful than a bunch of Instagram posts, but maybe I'm not looking at the right metrics.
I'm not thinking about Dakota Serbold, even though he's like an incredibly great skateboarder. But that, you know, that video part, which felt like a Transworld part one-off between the interviews and everything. Actually, I was thinking about the Foundation video, Rolling Thunder, like those interviews as well with respect to it.
Oh, yeah. Great video.
Great video. And someone panned the interviews, but I think they hold up. Someone in a magazine at the time, and I read it, is like panned the interviews. Just to be clear, no man, they made a potentially forgettable video part into something that we're talking about here right now. Like, he actually might not have had all the footage to make a video part, but you know, I forget who's in the credits right now. I didn't make a note of it. That was a cool package, to use like industry terms that I'm not a part of that industry, but it was a package and it was something, felt like Transworld, and it was good.
Yeah, I liked it. And I, you know, some of the criticism I saw was like the rewatchability factor is like low, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, a lot of times these parts are something that I'm only going to watch once. So like,
right.
You've only got one chance to make an impression on me. And I think the voiceover gives it more of an impression, gives me more to think about, gives the tricks more time. I kind of liked it. Like, I've always loved Transworld videos, and I don't think anybody ever balked at Mark Johnson talking about Cliff Kaufman and stuff like that. Like, you know, this is very much the same thing. And I thought it was good. And I think I watched the part like four times or something, because it's okay. A little slow at work. And like, I don't think that the voiceover really took away from it. There's like, yeah. Like you can always pick up on new little things each time.
Yeah, I don't think that the voiceover was that bad. Like, it could have been worse, I guess. They should have done it like over a phone. Like, I don't know. All those Transworld voiceovers, it sounded like they were recorded like through a tin can.
Well, I think there's footage of the, you know, just tape recorder, I think.
Yeah. The old tape recorder with the TDK.
I will say that also, just real quick, to get it in there, you know, our listenership is Transworld video lovers. They love people talking about skating.
I mean, you have to if you're here.
It's memorable. Like, sometimes it's memorable as shit. Like, here we are, like, however many years later, when the Modus come out, 2000, we're still talking about, like, you know, Carol's ankle still hanging by a strand of bone marrow.
Right.
You know? Shit, like, whatever that means. It's nonsensical. It's not anatomically correct.
Bone marrow makes but it's, sense. It would be a ligament or a tendon, or yeah, like skin, epidermis.
Yeah, it's not it's not anatomically correct, but like, it was memorable as shit. So yeah, I actually did some research leading up to this podcast, not internet research, like actual physical media research, like looking,
wow,
And a couple things based on the aforementioned interview, he seems to have the most insane work ethic ever. Like, gets up and goes skating like an actual
Dakota
job.
Dakota Servold,
that is. Yes, we're talking about him. And
I mean, it looks like it. The dude is good.
Yeah, seriously. And they also included a photograph of his mobile gym. He goes on the road with a mobile gym, which has consists of a collapsible weight bench, some kettlebells, some free weights, which is pretty intense. Like, I don't even think any of those primitive dudes that train do that. So shout out him for that. That's crazy. But as far as the skating itself, I don't know. Is this guy too good for foundation? Like, he did a kickflip frontside moonsault on a Cali table.
Yeah, that was insane. Yeah, I feel like he could, with a little makeover, he could fit in on a lot of different teams. He's got what it takes.
Yeah, although he seems to be loyal to Foundation Sinclair and all them. But yeah, also I wonder how he curates his spots and keeps track of all the different churches and the different rails therein.
I was wondering about the spots too, and I wonder if he just is constantly fielding DMs with kids come to my small town and grind the biggest rail we've got. Here it is.
Yeah, or does he just go through state to state? All right, we're gonna make a grid, and today we're gonna go to all the churches in A4, and just go through the whole country like that. That seems insane. That seems a bit much even for this guy. But I don't know. I guess that's a trade secret. I guess how he finds all the church parking lot rails.
You just laid it all out like I was gonna lay it out. In terms of, you got me stammering, man. Church parking lot rails is a pejorative when it comes to my mind in terms of, just big Midwest skating. Those are the worst spots. And yet, Dakota Servold, made a lot of them look cool. And that is also, credit to the people who made the video. But goddamn, he really must have the book of those spots.
You say church parking lot rail. It's a pejorative, but to me, who's skated or searched out plenty of church or unaffiliated parking lot rails, it felt kind of nostalgic to me. Like, a lot of those spots, although I've never been there or seen them, they felt familiar, and that felt nice to me. It was an identifiable form of skating to me. That's I didn't have a city to go skate growing up, so those church parking lots were the best that we had. It's the school, the church, the behind some random warehouse. That's where we were skating. So it felt very familiar to me.
Yeah, I mean, same relatable. Here. Same here. Like North Carolina and Virginia, there's a church every 20 feet, and someone's gonna have. I think if I had been a church rail chomper, I would have been a lot happier. Because there's a ton of them church rails. Around here, there's some in my neighborhood. I could probably throw a football and hit one.
Yeah, there's a lot more church rails than perfect ledges on smooth ground in the mid-Atlantic. Yeah.
When we pivot to video finally, the first video is gonna be just Jason throwing footballs at church rails, dude. That's gonna be sick.
They're actually building one of those new mega churches by my house. I'm like, dude, I wonder if there is gonna be a ledge there or something. Just one fucking ledge.
I feel like the churches never have good ledges.
No.
Too much into stonework,
Yeah. But he does jump on the church rails, but he does get technical. On a bunch of other rails. He does that frontside blunt slide, shove it out, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he took the front blunt to new heights on this one, through the kinked rail. He did that trick towards the beginning, the 50-50 up to front blunt to figgy 50-50 down, which was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. He does that front blunt through the kinks of that one famous rail. That's crazy.
Yeah, Robert Frost.
I can't believe that rail is still there. It hasn't been skate stopped yet.
I feel like maybe it was skate stopped and then got liberated for a Thrasher contest.
Yeah, you're probably right. I remember that contest.
The Felipe Mota, I hope I got his name right, the primitive guy who does heel flip, back tail, back to straight on Clipper. His rule was in my mind when it's homeboy, it really warped my mind, I'm trying to say. Homeboy does it, front blunt through two kinks, one, two, and then down. Goes to fake him, yeah, my boy Moto would have gone to straight, twisted thinking. You're picking up what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that, totally.
That might be a trend watch, like insane front blunt tricks. Like Filippo did the, of course, he did the kickflip front blunt down in Hollywood, which is crazy. If you look at the photo, he's like 2.5 feet above it, like when he catches it. Like it seems like impossible according to the laws of physics. And then like he also did like a big flip front blunt down a little tech rail. So see one more person for that to be an actual trend, like insane front blunt variations.
Well, I just to expand on it real quick, that dude was doing things to straight, and I'm like, oh wow, anybody can do it to straight now. And it's like, no, like this incredible rail skater, Dakota Servold, does it down two kinks, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, he went to fakie, that's whack. No, my whole twisted mind is whack.
Mota has ruined you for taking the front blunt to fakie.
Yeah, dude. Modern skateboarding. I don't like any of it because modern skateboarding is just too good.
Everyone's too good.
Imperfect statement, but.
I think we get it.
So what's this shoe? Is it like it's a slip-on?
It's a slip-on with a single eyelet for a lace.
Whoa.
So there's just like a bar of lace.
Oh,
I guess not cute. Lace, but
I'm looking at it now.
I'm definitely not a slip-on guy, but just to see what you're talking about, I'll have to check it out. It looks like a slightly like beefed up slip-on.
Yeah, it's just there's no laces to tie. I guess the laces just hold the flex from flexing too much.
Right.
But yeah, it's funny, you know, this is like a promotion for his shoe, and there wasn't a lot of screen time for the shoe, I thought.
Yeah, there was a couple of shots there. Not a lot. Usually there's a bunch of lifestyle footage, you know, when they have a video promoting a shoe, but no, just a couple of shots there, I guess. Hey, shout out to America for still like fighting the good fight or whatever.
Yeah, they're still doing it. I was looking at the shoes today and they look solidly all right. Not too bad. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still kids like that down here that like jump down stuff.
Are they wearing Americas or are you guys down?
It's pretty much a Vans sound, but I have seen some Americas from. I do see the Americas from time to time.
Fits the terrain that you guys have. You guys have the America type terrain in Richmond.
Yeah, churches with rails.
Exactly. Well, I'd be stoked to find a good church rail out here. Something low and small for my.
Wait, there's one. Bit. There's one by my house. I could probably nose slide it.
There we go. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Just something to nose slide. So I can feel something. I'd be stoked to feel the rail with my nose one more time, which brings us to the end of our show.
Deeply hilarious.
Where we talk about what we're stoked on. Mike, what are you stoked on this week?
I'm stoked on today. I went on a very long nose slide. That's where my brain was. Sorry. No, we've had like a very fake winter here in Minnesota, and I don't think we're going to get winter and like a lot of snow. I just biked for like 13.6 miles today as like a hard workout. Went and did that great trail on the Mississippi River. And I'm stoked that, you know, I shouldn't have been able to do that in very early March. Did it though. Like beat my ass kind of because I'm not used to doing that. But it was very cool. There's also very, like, very off-putting things about the aspects of the Minnesota winter that we haven't had. So, yeah, more on that later. Jason, what are you stoked on this week?
Stoked on Venture Trucks out of San Francisco, California. Stoked on the motion picture Dune Part 2. It was fucking insane. I'm a big fan of the Dune IP. So if you're into that, definitely check it out. Stoked on another episode of This Old Ledge from friend of the podcast, Ted Barrow. This one about a place I spent a great deal of time at, the Brooklyn Banks. Stoked on that. And stoked on a video from Brazilian Tyler. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Tyler Silva called Top Heavy. He's apparently a Tiago protege of sorts. So if you're into that Brazilian tech shit, definitely check this one out. Templeton, what are you stoked on this week?
I am stoked on the Beyond Boards podcast. If you like this podcast, you will almost certainly like Beyond Boards. They had a great interview with Thomas Campbell. Is it Thomas Campbell? Yeah, I think so. Fuck. They've had some great interviews lately. Kyle Beachy, Thomas Campbell, Scott Johnston. they do this cool thing where they ask people from the skater's life to ask questions. So it's, you know, not just your standard Q&A interview podcast. So definitely check out Beyond Boards. And also stoked on a little skate video out of Paris by way of Russia. It's called Blue from a company called Rasvet. Go check that out if you haven't already. Some people like it, some people don't. That's it for our show this week. Be sure to check out mostlyskateboarding.net for links to the things that we talked about and other show notes. Until next time, you can keep up with us all week online. Jason, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Carbonite1994, on Instagram at FrozenCarbonite, and writing stuff for quartersnacks.com. Mike, where can the people find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at, I was thinking about the names of, like, what do we actually call these things anymore? I'm at M. Munzenrider. Templeton, where are you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Mostly Skate and on Instagram at Mostly Skateboarding. We will see you guys next week.
Later.
Dream of. Oh, please. Boy versus girl in the world.